Congress goes at it with bank CEOs. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Executives from the nation's biggest banks are scheduled to go before the Senate Banking Committee this morning. They testified before a House panel yesterday, getting drawn into debates over everything from student loan debt to overdraft fees. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with more. Hi, Nova.
Good morning, Sabri.
So what are the main takeaways from yesterday's hearing?
Well, one of the main ones, Sabri, is that we're close to an election. But Republicans brought up high inflation, the health of the economy. Democrats asked about consumer protections. Hot button issues came up. Gun sales. Republicans are worried about a new merchant code to ID gun store sales when credit cards are involved. Will banks report these as suspicious transactions? The CEOs responded pretty generically. They'd maintain customer privacy, they said. Another hot button issue, overdraft fees. Some banks are reducing or eliminating them. And Aaron Klein of the Brookings Institution told us that those changes came after bank CEOs got grilled at previous hearings.
By my estimates, the largest banks have reduced their overdraft fees that will accumulate to up to $5 billion a year. These are huge savings that translate directly from bank profits to Americans living paycheck to paycheck.
What can we expect today at the Senate hearing?
Well, Democrats are likely to focus on consumer protections again. Expect to hear more on overdraft fees. Also about concerns about the Zelle payment network and how consumers can recover stolen funds. For Republicans, expect to hear more questions about high inflation and the health of the economy.
All right. Thanks, Nova.
You're welcome.
The Fed raised interest rates again yesterday, which could send mortgage rates up again. Existing home sales are down, and we may be at a transition point for home flippers, too, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
In the fix and flip market, real estate investors, mostly small contracting companies, buy homes in need of repair, spiff them up, and resell at a profit. The last few years have been good, with housing demand and prices soaring. But that's changing, says Rick Sharga at real estate analytics firm Adam Data Solutions. Home flipping fell in the second quarter from about 1 in 10 to 1 in 12 home sales.
So we're seeing weakening demand because of weak affordability. Prices slow down and in some markets actually decline a little bit.
Rising mortgage rates aren't likely to hurt home flippers because they typically buy with cash, says Lawrence Yoon at the National Association of Realtors.
People who have cash, they're still in the market, and with less buyer competition, they see better opportunity.
Another bright spot for home flippers, more distressed properties are coming on the market now that pandemic-era foreclosure bans have expired. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Many people in high-risk groups in China, like the elderly, are not fully vaccinated. And China's Sinovac vaccine is less effective for those groups than mRNA vaccines from abroad, which the country hasn't authorized. Given those considerations, China's zero-COVID approach has successfully taken pressure off of its medical system. But it hasn't come without economic pain, and with that comes political risk. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell reports from Beijing.
The checkpoint at Yanzhou has become a source of tension between the low-paid workers who live in cheaper accommodation just outside Beijing and the police who are enforcing border closures. At any time, a cluster of coronavirus cases can mean entry to the capital from neighbouring Hebei province is suspended and long-range commuters are cut off from their places of employment. Though the border has just reopened again, people queuing for buses into Beijing tell us that for some employers, the workers of Yanjiao are now seen as unreliable.
Some Beijing companies stopped accepting workers who live beyond the checkpoint.
Many people who live in this area got fired by their companies.
In this country, the government has decreed that each new outbreak must still be returned to zero cases, using strict lockdowns and mass testing. It's slamming the economy. Youth unemployment is at 18.7%, and it's been higher than that this year. In southeastern Jiangsu province, manufacturing, especially that relying on exports, has been hit hard. The trucks are loading up in the clothing hub of Dieshichao, but everyone we speak to has seen factories and warehouses closing in the region. We're also told that many overseas buyers are looking elsewhere to source products because they fear that China's supply chains could be disrupted at any moment. One woman who runs a small shop says that those selling domestically are also not faring well.
It's not been good those past 2 years, much worse than before. Sales cut by half.
Professor Liang Wanyan is a senior advisor to the government's coronavirus task force. I asked him when zero COVID might come to an end.
It's hard to say. What we can do is get the medical system more prepared and improve vaccination rates.
In the coming weeks, the twice-a-decade Communist Party Congress will officially usher in a historic third term in power for Xi Jinping. The hope was to have China in a stable and economically strong position when this happens, but the coronavirus is not following the script. The Communist Party can maintain zero COVID until then and even beyond, but there is a price to pay, and this can't go on forever.
That was the BBC's Stephen McDonnell in Beijing. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.